Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope that you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Brake.
Been around for 4 years, so we're going into our fifth year. And so, you know, for us, we were very much wanting to really discover and find out who it was that God had called us to be as a church. That might sound strange, but I believe that, you know, God places people in churches, in communities to impact, reach that community. So they have like a personality, sort of like a heartbeat, a culture that gets developed. And as much as we have had many opportunities to be a part of other things, we really felt that it was important for us to really find out who we're meant to be in God. And I believe that we're starting to become more and more comfortable in the skin, in the cloak, if you like, that God has got for us as a church, and ministering out of that without trying to be somebody else and forcing ourselves to be something. It's all just very natural for what God wants us to be, and we feel comfortable in the right way, comfortable about that. And so we believe that after many years of sowing and many years of laying down a great foundation, that, you know, the next, particularly this next 12 months, will be a great year of harvesting, of reaping that which we've sown. And people have worked so incredibly hard, and that the hard work isn't going to stop. That's the reality of life in any role or function. Especially when you have a desire for it to grow, it requires hard work. You've got to put your hand to the plow and get on with it. But, you know, each year what we've tried to do anyway is identify three specific areas in which we would like to focus more of our energies and attention and resource on, so that we can actually really set something up significantly. So in the past, we have had things like, you know, our discipleship stuff. We've had prayer, evangelism, mission to a degree, various things that, although the general runnings of the church needed to happen, they've been a little bit more of a priority on those things for 12 months, so that if we can get that set up properly, then, you know, it should be running and happening smoothly, and those things continually need work. But this year, the things that we're really focusing on, first and foremost, as you're hearing, is the why not. Just the why not. 2012 is a why not year for us. And we're believing and we're praying for that. When we get together, Friday mornings is now our prayer morning as a church. And obviously not everybody can make it. But I think, you know, if you're free on 9:30 to 10:30 on a Friday morning at the church office, group of people that can get together to pray. Obviously, prayer will happen in life groups, and prayer should be happening in your own life as well. And as a group, and as, Jemima, myself, and Paul, anyone else at the office, when we pray, we're praying for you to have a why not year, for us to have a why not year in the various areas. So, you know, that is our overarching theme for 2012. It's the first time we've had a theme. I'm sort of not big on going down the cheesy line of having a theme, but really feel that this is one that God has directed and highlighted to us, that this is what we should believe for in 2012. So the first, underneath that, I guess, why not, if we're going to look at specific things this year, one of our key focus areas is our global perspective. And for those of you that have been in Compass for a little while, we take that out of Jesus said, you know, you shall receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. So there's a progressive expansion that Jesus is talking about there in terms of our influence. And so our global perspective encompasses all of that. And at a local level, you've heard Michael talk about, the community aspect, and also wanting to empower you to impact your neighbours, your community, to come to us with the names of people that you know that are maybe struggling. You know, just 2 weeks ago, we had some guys let us know about a lady, and she's got a lot of challenges in life and whatever, but they'd run out of food. So we were able to just grab a bunch of food for them and another family as well in the end. But if we don't hear from you about people that are in need, we can't meet needs. Does that make sense? So from a community perspective, at a local church level, you hear about somebody in the life of the church that's either about to move, or there's somebody sick or something like that. You've got to communicate that to your life group leader so that we can actually do something about it. So, you know, we should never sit back and say the church should do something about that. Because who's the church? We are. So if we say the church should do something, what in fact you're saying is I should actually do something about that. Okay, so we really want to empower you this year to say, hey, we've got some stuff at the offices that we want to just give away. and we're developing and increasing those network of contacts with people in our community that we can do that with, and on a state level with our partnership with Youth for Christ, who are going into schools and going into chaplaincy and doing a significant work in Victoria. It's brilliant. Then at a national level, we're looking to support an Indigenous community. And then at a global perspective this year, there's a couple of things have come up for us as opportunities for us as a church, which are really, really unique. And we know about the block of land that we've bought in Malawi, and we're looking to develop that further this year, in the sense that we want to find out what are the real needs for the community there. Because there's no point us actually say, let's build a building, but it can't be maintained, it doesn't get used, and it just ends up being a building sitting there and pointless. Do you get what I'm saying? So we really want to investigate this year, particularly in the first 6 months, what that's going to look like for us as an involvement as a church. Now, partnership with the pastors and ministers who are very much rural in Malawi, how we can serve them and what we can establish to be a community-based centre to serve and meet the community needs. Another thing that's come up is an idea of NATS. Now, I'm not saying it's a Compass idea at all. It's actually a NAT idea, but Compass Church can actually are going to jump on board it, and you'll find out why. So, Nat, tell us about your idea.
Yeah. It was actually a couple of years ago. I was watching a current affair, and there was a current affair. It's top investigative journalism right there. But anyway, but there was a segment there about a school in, I think it was in Papua New Guinea, and this lady from Australia had gone over there to teach kids, and she was saying, you know, one of the major needs that they had there with the teaching of the kids was that they didn't have any stationery or, you know, books, pencils, all of that kind of stuff. And I kind of sat, you know, after that, and I went, oh, that's so tragic. I look in my kids', you know, toy cupboard and craft cupboard, and there's like pencil cases full of, you know, cupboard full of, you know, pencils, texters, rubbers, etc. And at the end of every year, we have to, with the school that my kids go to, we pay a set amount for stationery, and then they just get it sent to the school. And at the end of the year, the girls come back with a big pencil case full of texters and pencils that they had used that year, and we bring it home. And I looked in the cupboard, and there was like three or four pencil cases full of texters and pencils, and all in amazing condition. And in addition to that, I don't know any parents out there, but, you know, birthdays and Christmas, kids get even more of that kind of gear. So we're just, you know, got way above what we need. So anyway, I kind of had it on my heart to do something about it through the school. I never, being a bit lazy, didn't actually activate it. And last year, Phil kind of put me into action in a positive way. And I thought, you know what, I know that if something ever happened to me, I'd really regret not actually doing something about this. So I approached the school and had a chat with the principal and said, look, you know, this is the pencil cases that my kids bring home at the end of every year. We don't need them. Is there an opportunity that the kids could actually donate their pencil cases at the end of the year, and we could maybe pay it forward to another underprivileged school overseas or within Australia? And she thought that was an amazing idea. And through their sustainability group at school, at the very last day of the year, all the kids within the classrooms went through their pencil cases, and they tested, you know, the textures that worked and which ones didn't work, threw out what was not working anymore, sharpened pencils. And in addition to that, the teacher also rang me up and said, look, do you want notepads and exercise books that aren't used, because we can donate that as well? And I said, no worries, we'll take, you know, whatever we can get. Anyway, the last day of school, Phil went and collected what the kids had put together, and there was probably the back of our four-wheel drive was full of pencils and texters. And I'm telling you, some of them, it's incredible. Like, never used, in packets, just ready for us to pass on to schools. So it's just been phenomenal, just the acceptance from the school to do it, and just they were totally behind us, no issues at all. And so now we have the massive task of actually putting those pencils and texters and exercise books into packs and distributing them out to schools. So there's opportunities in Fiji to get packs out to, I think, three schools that I'm aware of in underprivileged areas over there. And we'd also like to give those packs to Indigenous schools in Central Australia. So we're looking into that as well. And I would still like to try to find that school in Papua New Guinea and see if I can track down that lady. That would be honestly a miracle if I can do it, but that's on my heart to do as well. So if in the next week or two, my work situation's quietened down a little bit so I can now focus on getting these packs together. If you are interested in helping out with kind of gathering and putting them into boxes, we're getting the boxes organised so that they can head off to Fiji first. If that's something that you would have time for and you'd be keen to get together and have a bit of fun kind of assembling the packs, I would love to hear from you. So just let me know and we can have a bit of fun putting them together.
Cool. Good work. And also, if you have kids in primary school and you would like to do a similar thing in your primary school, then we're just thinking about maybe expanding that to other schools that would like to do it. Maybe just chat to Nat about it. So what we're planning to do is get these boxes of stationery and exercise books over to these schools in Fiji that some of them actually stop in grade six because they just don't have anything for the kids to go further in. So we're actually going to help to make a massive difference. So there's some guys in the church that have great connections already with Fiji. So in terms of exporting stationery and things through customs, it's really easy. So there's a lot of pluses that make this a great project, but we see that, you know, there could be a lot of primary schools that we could actually begin to do a pretty big project like that. So there's things like that. And once again, I think, you know, if you haven't heard me say this, some of the best ideas that churches do and ministries that churches run haven't come from, you know, the pastors or whatever. It's come from people in the congregation that step up and actually say, hey, have you thought about this, or there's this great idea. So please, we welcome your creativity. We welcome your ideas. And if we can support them, then that will certainly happen, like it would in this case. So does that sound good? Sound good? So you can get involved in that if you like in some way. So that's our global perspective, I guess, and maybe some churches call that their missions. So their missions department, we call that our global perspective department. So, you know, if you've got a heart or passion for the international stuff, please come and have a chat to me, because we're starting to put together a team that can help us do the research, etc., required. Because as I said, we want to be wise stewards with our finance, and we don't want to invest into things that, you know, are going to be fruitless or not actually beneficial to where we want to go. So global perspective is one. The next one, which is massive for me, and I feel is a great sense of responsibility in the role that I have, is the whole area of discipleship. That, you know, we want to have people that come to Compass Church, as Daniel 11:32 says, people that know their God and will do great exploits. But the first part of that verse is talking about one of the visions that Daniel had, and he's talking about the end times, that there will be people who through flatteries get distracted and get deceived and fall away from their faith, but people who know their God will do great exploits or take action. And so that's the kind of people that we want to be, people who know our God. We know the shepherd. We know his voice when he speaks. There is something similar about all of us in our followership of Jesus Christ. There is an integrity. There's a character. Integrity is doing the right thing even when no one's watching. It's having those kind of people, that we are men and women of integrity, that people meet somebody from Compass and there is a solidness about them. Not just the size of your biceps, but there is a spiritual solidness about you, that, you know, there is some depth to you. It's not a superficial faith that you have, but you have a real grasp and connection and understanding and a growing and a hunger on your behalf for the things of God. So, you know, Matthew 28:19 says that we are called to go and make disciples. See, my role as your pastor is not to build a big church. That's not my role. If you have that expectation of me, you're looking to the wrong guy. Jesus said that he would build his church. So if you want to actually see Compass grow to something big, talk to Jesus about it. And I'm fully, it's in my mind, don't you worry about that. But what we're called to do is to make disciples, is to see big people. And if we have big people at Compass Church, then an outworking of that is that you will influence the environment in which you find yourself in Monday to Friday. Does that make sense? So a part of this is, again, it's sort of why not in the area of your faith, is you taking responsibility for your growth this year. And, you know, I took that challenge seriously last year when I asked you the question, how have you grown this year? And be specific about it. So I went home that week and I actually asked myself that question, Phil, how have you grown this year? And I looked at particular things and I said, I really want to grow in the area of improving in my communication and grow in my ability to communicate to people of all different spheres and levels in different situations so that God would be glorified. And I knew that if I do that, I'm going to put myself in a position where I'm going to be very, very nervous. And so, like, and that happened just this week. I'm approaching this particular funeral, which was high profile or whatever, but it was just like, I said to Nat, I go, I'm really excited. I'm actually really nervous. This is really good. And it's like, isn't it funny? The older you get, the more selective you can be with how nervous or out of your comfort zone you will get. You understand what I'm saying? So this year, why don't you actually make a conscious decision for all those people that just love change? Just, you know, you are going to put yourself in a position where you're going to be challenged, where you're going to be stretched, where you are going to grow. So let me just clear something up for us as a church. The priority for us as a church has to be the pathway of discipleship, okay? And once you've actually completed the pathway of discipleship, then the life groups exist for the ongoing nurturing, development and growth, not just of you, but for you to be able to inspire and encourage and see others grow. Are you with me? So over the next few weeks with the start of the Alpha course, and if you haven't started the Alpha course, we would like to. There's one that started last Tuesday, but it's not too late. If you have put your name down or would like to do the Alpha course, can you please see Paul? Paul, can you put your hand up, please? Can you see Paul after this morning's meeting? Okay. Important first step. Then we go into Discipleship 101, just going a little bit deeper into the elements of our followership of Jesus Christ and a gift discovery course in that, attached with that as well. So, you know, that's step two. And then step three is the cleansing stream one, which is like it really is quite a rigorous spiritual journey to go on for like 10 weeks that can see significant breakthrough in your life for the rest of your life. And it is that significant, and I believe in it that much after doing it myself that I believe it's something that we as a church, that everybody should. Now, I can't force you to do this. All we can do is present you with the options. Well, that's all we can do, whether you take them up or not. And as I said, that if Christianity gets boring to you, look at the mirror and go, self, it's your fault. Why? Because like if you, as I said, I use the analogy of chewing gum, or if you have a piece of chicken, if you get stir fry, whatever, put that in your mouth and you just keep chewing that over and over and over. Don't swallow it, just keep chewing that over and over. It's going to get very bland. It's going to get very tasteless. After a while, the chewing gum loses its flavor. And if you expect that you're going to survive spiritually on just chewing on one verse and that's going to sustain you for a month, you're kidding yourself. You are not going to grow. You're not going to mature. You're not going to be challenged. And so, you know, that whole area. And so things like blokes and chicks exist. God conversations, how to hear from God. I mean, like, I wish I could go, but I can't. Somebody else in this room that might, but of a male persuasion might try. But anyway, that's another story. But like, you know, we give you these opportunities and we make time for what's important. So where in the scheme of your busyness, in the schedule of your life, does your spiritual growth and development happen? Because we're called to make disciples. And I'll throw this out there to you. I heard it put this way. If you've read two chapters of the Bible, you are two chapters ahead of somebody that has not read the Bible. So therefore, you should be discipling somebody. But I've got issues. We've all got issues. I've got challenges. We've all got challenges. But we are called to make disciples. Not just me. Every single one of us in this church is called to make disciples. So can I ask you a question? Who are you encouraging? That's discipleship. Who are you just kind of like cheering on saying, hey, you know, how are you going with your walk with Jesus? Or if you see somebody struggling, you get alongside them and encourage them. It doesn't have to be a formal, I am your discipler, oh wise one, I am the guru, follow me, bow down, worship me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's just like, you know, it's not like that. It's about doing life together. And obviously the other important area that discipleship happens in the life of our church is our Sunday services and some of the challenges that we throw out there. 180 day. Sowing and reaping challenge. Other challenges about prayer and fasting that we throw out there. Involvement, opportunity, a challenge to be involved. We don't just put those things out there because that's what we're meant to do. Like as a church, oh, we're supposed to do that sort of stuff. No, we put it out there because we want to give people an opportunity to grow. The other area that is vital to our ongoing growth and development on a regular basis is our life group. So I'm just going to ask Colleen just to come down and chat, because Colleen does an amazing job, people, with our pastoral care at Compass Church. Put your hands together. Yay. And George, I'll get you to come down as well, please, just so.
Okay, pastoral care. So if you're good at maths, actually if you're not good at maths, you will notice. Just have a look around the room how much compass is growing, so which is great. But unfortunately, my team is dwindling a little bit because Ben decided to go to Perth, which I'm glad about, which is great. And Rachel's decided to have another baby, which is also good. But I just want to introduce you to my team, which is Joan, which is really my right hand and does an amazing job. Paul Porter, who does all the courses. So Paul does well, and he does an outstanding job. And then there's Lester, who just pretty much does everything. Yeah. So look, what I wanted to say to you was that you don't see a lot of the pastoral stuff happening on a Sunday, but my team work very hard. They work 7 days a week, and they do a lot of background work. So just to give you a little bit of perspective, we do everything from first-time visitors, first-time Christians, following up people, emailing, prayer requests, visiting people, text messaging. I'm constantly texting on my way to school because I work a full-time job. So I just wanted to honor my team because they do an outstanding job, and it is a lot of work. So thank you for what you do and your support. But it is amazing to see the way in which campus is growing. So what I'm really saying is that if you've got a heart for people and you've got a heart to be on the team, please come and see me. Please don't do it if you don't have a heart for people, because it's not going to work. So if you do, and I won't have you anyway. So if you do, and if you want to pray about it, maybe pray about it and come and see me, because that will be great. And I even just need people who are happy just to do phone call follow-ups, because we still do the very old-fashioned, give people a ring on the phone, and Joan sends people personal little notes and cards. And so, you know, the many capacities you can get involved in. So please come and see me if that's really your heart and your passion, because as Compass is growing, clearly we want to extend what we're doing, and we've got vision in terms of where we're wanting to go, but I can't do it if I don't have the manpower. So, yep. So the other important thing are life groups. Now, life groups have started with a bang this week. Now, all the reports that I've got through, a bit of a competition going between Lester and Georgina, actually, because Lester was houseful, and so was Georgina. So I'm going to put you on the spot now. Put your hand up if you went to a life group this week. Okay, if you look around the room, that's not a bad amount of people. Okay, so I'm going to put the pressure on you now. If you've not been to life group this week, okay, I've taken note of the faces. So I'm going to be stalking you, and you will be going. Okay, so honestly, Lester's had heaps of people this week, and so did Georgina, and it was a really good outcome. And look, I'm just wanting to say with life groups are not just about studying the Word of God in temps, depths. It's not about that. It's about relationships. It's about being aware of the fact that people are at different stages of their lives. People are needy. People just need to connect. People are on different spiritual paths. So and especially Phil's group, they've come a long way, which Georgina has taken over now, and Lester's as well. So I just really want to encourage you to please get involved with the life group. It's only every second week, and it really is worth your while doing it. So to give you the heads up, there's going to be a new group starting in Oakley, and there's going to be a new group starting in Beaumaris in the very near future. So I will keep you informed with dates and times and leaders. But I just want to encourage you really to please go. Come and see me or speak to one of the leaders. And if you want to get involved with the pastoral care team, please come and see me too. So
when Colleen said our group has come a long way, it took me a long time to actually catch up to where the group was. That's why I'd like to just clarify that. But just so you know, we have so many people that are wanting to do either Alpha, D101 or Cleansing Stream that we're just holding off on the launch of a couple of life groups, because people are actually doing that. Once those courses are complete, there'll be far more people going into different life groups. So at the moment, Sean will be doing one with students and expanding that. Lester, put your hand up. Lester's doing one in Caulfield South at Ian and Jane's place. And Georgina's taken over my group that I was doing, so I can actually help more so with the courses that are being run, and that will be needing to start another one, because there's 20 people that will be about 25. Wow, it's multiplying since Thursday. It's now 25. We'll just wait till Tuesday. It'll be 35. All right. But Georgina just wants to give you an idea of, you know, what she thinks of life groups and stuff.
And big shoes to take over as well, Pastor. So, yes, I'm Georgina, for those of you who don't know me. I was thinking the other day, I've actually been a Christian for almost 9 years now, which is a bit scary in terms of how old I am now. but I was just thinking, like the first time that I went to church that was like by my doing, not being dragged along, I sat there and it's so just, like it just... inside me, it just echoed like everything that was being said. And like after it finished, I thought, okay, God, you've got my attention, but please don't make me talk to these people. Like they're just not who I want to be friends with. And 2 seconds later, this girl packed me on the shoulder and said, do you want to come to my life group? And I was like, oh gosh. So I went, and she's one of my best friends still today. And a number of those girls in that group are like the coolest girls I've ever met, and they're still my friends. And since I've been a Christian, I've been a member of 4 life groups. So one in Hobart, one in Launceston, one in Sydney, and this one here. And I've got to say, like, the relationships that you get out of a life group are just incredible. The things that I've gone through with people in their life group and, like, just in terms of their life journey has just been incredible. And just the way that you see people go just from coming in, never being in church before, just to being leaders in church, it's just incredible. And being able to go through that is just a privilege with people. So I really encourage everyone just to be a part of a life group, like, just to have that relationship and just sort of just even to have people that you know when you come on a Sunday is just fantastic. So, yeah. That's all I have to say.
Well done. Put your hands together for George. So, yes, we provide the opportunity for you to grow in your faith and to be more of a Christ-like follower. And so that's one way in which we can do that through life groups. So, you know, if you're thinking whether I do a course or whether I do life groups, again, the priority's got to be the courses. So encourage you, if you're going to choose between the two, like you can do a course and go to a life group. Of course, you're allowed to do that. But if you've got to choose between the two, then choose a course. That would be good. I was just thinking also, like, you know, I'm not a numbers type person in the sense of having a specific numerical target for us to grow through as a church. I think sometimes that can be either limiting or it can be the wrong kind of focus. But yet I felt like, you know, I was just challenged when I saw, who's seen the target 155, the water target? So like we're all supposed to be aiming at 155 litres per person in our household, that kind of thing. Yeah, well, I just thought that I'm going to throw this out there, that for us this year that we would grow through the 150 mark as a church. And so if there's something, if you're looking for a specific, for all of those that like specifics and details, if you need a target, then that's what we're going to be praying for as a church, to grow through 150 people who call Compass Church home. So encourage you to jump on board and to help us with that. So can I just have the time, please? I haven't got my watch on. 22 minutes past. Okay, I had a message here, but obviously I'm not going to get into it because I think it's more important that we just spend time praying with you for your goals and things that you want to see happen in 2012. So if you've got your Bible open to John chapter 11, I'm going to preach in 2 minutes. So if anyone's got a stopwatch. John chapter 11 is a story of Jesus healing Lazarus, and Jesus was being ridiculed in a particular area, so he left because he was about to be stoned. And as he's in that area, Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, came, sent a messenger to tell Jesus that Lazarus was very, very sick. So, you know, we've got to remember that Jesus is the answer. We've got to keep going to Jesus. So they sent word to Jesus, and Jesus' response was, this sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And, you know, that's all we need. We just need a word from Jesus in our situation. It'll bring comfort. It'll bring peace. And it's like, you know, this message goes back to Mary and Martha. And they think, right, Jesus is coming. Jesus is on his way. But what does it say in verse 6? It says, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Jesus, what are you doing? He's sick. He's dying. Why aren't you just responding straight away? Who, like, you know, when you're in crisis or got issues, you need help straight away, right? But that's not always the way that God works. I've found in my pastoral experience that the things that are super urgent, super important, there's been times where I haven't either got the call or whatever, and I actually heard the message the next day, and I think, oh, far out, I better ring. I ring 24 hours later, and it's actually been sorted out. The person actually went, you know what, I can't get in touch. I've got to pray more. They've got to just lean on God a little bit more than leaning on people, and God comes through quite incredibly for them. And so they didn't need me anyway. So my point is that, like, you know, these guys are expecting Jesus to come, but Jesus actually hangs around for an extra 2 days. Is anyone here waiting for anything? Is anyone waiting for an answer to prayer? You're waiting for an answer to prayer? Yeah, the answer's on its way. The answer is on its way. Because Jesus, we see, comes back. And the only thing I'm going to finish off with, I love this bit. Down at verse 16, Jesus says to them after 2 days, right, let's go. Let's go. And we're going to go back and we're going to deal with Lazarus and the situation there. Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, let's also go with Jesus that we may die with him. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you very much. But Thomas was the only one that actually had the guts to stand up. A lot of people criticised Thomas, but I think in this situation, Thomas is actually standing up and going, you know what? I'm going with Jesus. Wherever Jesus goes, that's where I'm going. And if we die, we die. Maybe a bit Eeyore. Oh me, oh my, here we go again. But he's going, you know what, I'm with Jesus. And that's where I'd love for us to be this year, which is, why not? Jesus, you're going what looks like a crazy situation. It looks impossible. You're going back to a death. It looks impossible with us. But Jesus, we're just going with you. We're going to go. This year, we're going. Why not? Because with God, all things are possible. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff I was going to talk about, the actual resurrection of Lazarus itself, but we've run out of time. But there may be just a couple of things there for you. Encourage you this morning. If you're waiting, Jesus is going to answer you. Jesus will come through. He will come through for you. Let's pray. And I just encourage you, if you haven't got your goals or dreams for 2012 written down anywhere, you know, why don't you just come out either with your Bible or something, and we're just going to have some people that are going to be praying with you just for a few moments, just to pray and just commit and consecrate these goals and things that we've got to the Lord for 2012, because I really believe there is something powerful that happens. You know, Hebrews talks about, you know, the power of laying on of hands. Hebrews 6 verses 1 to 3, the elementary truths that we are called to believe in, the power of laying on of hands. And I believe the people that I've asked to pray with you this morning are faith-filled men and women of God who believe that, you know what, doesn't matter how crazy, they're not going to read your goals, but you're going to hold them there. We're going to anoint you with oil and we're going to pray in Jesus' name. We see these things which are not, and we speak them into being as if they were today. We see this breakthrough in your work. We see this breakthrough in your family. We see this breakthrough in your situation, so that at the end of 2012, you can hold the microphone and say, yep, I can thank God for doing X, Y, Z. And, you know, that's what we're believing for, is that God would get the glory out of all of this. Amen? Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for what you're doing in and through Compass Church. Lord God, we are so mindful that you are at work just in so many different ways, in small ways and in big ways. Lord God, we praise you this morning for just the recent answers to prayer. Lord God, I just thank you that you have answered prayer. I know the people sitting here right now that have spoken to me even this last week, that you have come through and answered prayer in pretty significant ways. And so we want to praise you for that. Lord, I thank you that you have come through even in my own personal financial situation, that God, there was a breakthrough there. I give you public praise today. That couldn't have happened any other way, Lord God. That was you who orchestrated that. You put all that together, so we give you praise. I just thank you that this is a why not year for us as a church. And for the individuals, for people who come today to be prayed for their goals and their dreams, Lord God, I just thank you that in you, they are yes and amen. They are so be it in Jesus' name. And so, Lord God, we honor you today as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a worship song this morning. And then we're going to have the opportunity for you to come and be prayed for. And if you need to go this morning, understand that, and that's not a problem. So if you want to come and be prayed for and then head off straight away, that's totally okay. But if you are going to stay inside this room, we're just going to just respect and honour what God wants to do, and just believing that, you know, as you get prayed for, you know, people might have a word for you. People might just be able to lay hands and just allow a God encounter to take place this morning.
Thanks, Troy.